a game face on. Get ready for the tip off. First pitch, puck drop, first swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show. We bring the realest in the world of sports. You gotta hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you're playing. Forget all the gimmicks, cause you're speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports or what's popping. It's four quarters of absolute rawness. It's if you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl phase, it's from the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's.
Listen closely, so your attention's undivided. Many in the past have tried to do what
I did.
But just the way we came off then,
we're going to come off
stronger and longer,
even with the drum off.
Welcome to episode 69.
Or episode 68, plus I owe you one.
Of All Balls Don't Bounce. I am the entrepreneurionaire Wall Street Will Strickland.
I am Dwayne Sweets Watson. And we're bringing you the best and finest in sports talk.
Well, you know what it is.
This As
is
we story- do, it's 69 episodes.
The story behind the story, and this one hopefully will pass the smell test. Because we keep doing it. That's how we get
did
down.
You see, did you see the picture of the Wichita State Shocker cheerleading squad?
No.
And they were doing the Shocker symbol?
What's that? I've never seen it.
Two in the pink, one in the...
Oh!
Apparently that's called a Shocker. I didn't know.
Hey.
So it's called a Shocker. So they were doing the...
The Secret Life of Dwayne Sweets Watson.
I read it on the internet.
You guys can't see me winking.
That's the air wink. It's the air wink. Right, you can have that one.
Can I own that
one? You can
one?
Own that. You can own the air wink.
All good. So where can they find us, sir?
They can definitely find us at allballsdon'tbounce.com. On Twitter, at ABD Media, Facebook.com/ABD Media, the iTunes Music Store, and of course, Stitcher Radio.
Oh.
Oh, I said it. And then you're supposed to say it. So my bad.
You can try to sing it.
No.
Though. I got the copyright.
I'll stick to the internet. And of course,
Stitcher Radio.
I like that. I like
yeah.
that. Some baritone shit.
No doubt. No doubt.
And also, definitely email us at allballsdon'tbounce@gmail.com.
And you can find, you told them that they can find us on Twitter, right?
Yes, I did, sir.
See, you're so good.
You were getting your vocal training, your baritone.
I was.
Brain from the diaphragm.
My mellow dulcet tones all together. But,
so, who's rocking the, whose jerseys are we hanging up in the episode 69 Hall of Fame this week?
Tim Crumry.
Yes,
from
yes.
From the Cincinnati Bengals.
All pro.
Yeah, but... I'm going with Jared Allen,
okay,
the sack master from Minnesota.
Okay. Andy Desjardins.
Is that a hockey guy?
Of course it's a hockey guy.
His name is Desjardins.
Desjardins. But he didn't wear it this year. He stopped wearing it for 2 years, but he's the only guy in the NHL to wear it, number 69.
What team did he play for?
San Jose Sharks. He still plays.
Really?
Yeah, he switched.
Did he play with our no, no, that's
no, the, no, Devontae, Pele.
Right, Smith. Yeah.
But also... now I forget his name. I think it's Nicklas Backstrom. He played in KHL with Ovechkin, and he wanted to wear 69, but they gave him 99. He didn't want to wear 99 because it's Gretzky's number.
Right.
And it was like 3 weeks where like they didn't change the number. They're like, oh, don't worry about it. He's like, I don't want to wear this number. And he wore 69.
I'm thoroughly impressed with your international hockey knowledge.
Well, it's the internet. It's the internet, man.
Well, when we were speaking of hockey, there's no greater player in the game right now than Sid the Kid.
On no greater team right now than...
How many games in a row have they won?
It's hockey.
They have a good streak going.
Yeah, they have a great streak. And they just added to it by getting Jerome McNilia from the Calgary Flames.
Yo, so is that like a super team they tried to create with the Ginla on the team now, even though that Sidney is out?
Yeah. Not a, but
they
not,
got
not,
Malkin.
Not,
Malkin was the, yeah. the... What was the guy? Who's the... what do you get for this... score Art Ross?
Oh,
is that the Art Ross trophy?
I don't, dude.
I'm trying to flex my
what's
my,
the Hart Trophy's MVP, right?
Yeah, Hart yeah. Trophy. So Art Reed, Ross must be scoring. Scorer.
Yeah, because the Vezina's a goalie.
Yeah,
okay. And then what's the defensive one?
I don't know. the Vezina, but You know what? It might be Bobby Orr.
No, he doesn't have a thing. Dave Bing, is that basketball?
Dave Bing is bad. Lady Bing.
Isn't
that like the spot?
It's humanitarian sports.
Yeah, okay.
So we know something.
See, a little something. But
yeah.
If you didn't know, Sidney Crosby out with a broken jaw. And I was wondering, like, we talked about him a lot last year with the concussions and everything. How did this broken jaw, did it affect any or leave any concussive?
It was a puck to the mouth. He took a slap shot to the mouth. Yeah, which is never.
Get hockey. The puck out of his mouth.
Yeah, so I don't necessarily think it's kind of concussion related because it's lower part of the skull than the upper part.
But let me ask you this. Yes. All right. They've been trying to improve safety in hockey for years, trying to make the visor mandatory and all that stuff. Even though he got hit in the mouth, doesn't he wear a helmet with a visor on it?
He does, but
it's not that full.
It goes to right above the nose, so your mouth is still exposed.
But when your best player, the best player in the league, becomes a cautionary tale for why you need to wear those.
You know, I don't know. I mean, that doesn't happen all the time. I mean, guys get sticks in the nose, whatever. But
hit in the mouth with a puck, yo.
Well, I don't know who shot. The question is, who shot it? It was a high shot. Well, or maybe he was diving on the ground. Maybe, I don't know. But that's tough for them. But, you know, season's still young.
No doubt. Yo, you heard about Adrian Wilson, the former safety for the Arizona Cardinals?
Yes, I did.
I thought that story was really interesting. You know, guys, when they get traded or go to a new team, they like to maintain the number and the identity they used to
have. So they can be talked about on different episodes of All Balls Don't Bounce?
Without question. Well, Wilson signed with the Patriots, who already have a number 24, because that's his number.
And most guys usually, you know, pay them off or buy them a Rolly or, you know.
Arrington didn't want to. He didn't even offer the change in the number, I don't think. Did he? He did, actually.
Okay.
But instead of giving him money, what did he give him?
He offered to pay for a year's supply of diapers.
Now, how do you come to that number for a year's supply of diapers? And of course, it's not because Kyle Arrington is incontinent and has to wear like the Depend diapers.
Oh God!
He has a child, yo.
Of course.
So he just had a newborn, and Wilson was creative with his offer. But his kid might shit more than other kids.
You know, it's funny because what if he has an endorsement with Johnson & Johnson, who also owns Pampers, and he's really just going to get them on the back end?
Well, maybe it's one of those Clinton Portis deals, because when he was playing for the Redskins back in the day to get the number 26, he offered $40,000 to, what's the safety's name?
Ifeanyi Olaiti.
Very good.
Thank you, sir.
And after Olaiti was cut from the team,
so were the payments.
So, Adrian, make sure you keep sending those diapers to Kyle Arrington's crib, yo.
Yeah. Regardless of the status, the kid will always still need them.
No doubt. You know, it's the mystery of iniquity right here going on in Detroit, of all places.
Yeah, we almost, you know, Charles Rowan almost ended up in our rest in power section.
Almost.
The only problem is he didn't die.
Well, he didn't die in the ring, did he?
He didn't die in the ring.
Or in the octagon, as it would be with MMA. If you don't know this story, mixed martial arts fighter Charles Rowan supposedly died in a car accident back in February.
Yeah, well, he had a card that night on his way to the card, and the Mad Greek, that's his nickname.
Right.
His girlfriend called and told the promoter and the Christos Pilipus.
That's the Mad Greek. That's the guy who runs the promotion.
Right. But they called him and said, he died in a horrible car accident.
Right.
He won't be able to make it.
Right. On that car. He was supposed to fight him, I guess.
Like my dog ate my homework.
Right. That's a little deeper than my dog. That's some Machiavellian shit.
That's some bad
karma. And I'm not talking about Tupac. Not Machiavelli. Machiavelli. Get it right. Come with me. Hail Mary.
So, you know, that call came through. He didn't fight, obviously. They went and met. They went to the house, and there was, you know, older people and children crying.
Mourning,
you know?
Right.
And, you know, he gave 150 on the spies, like, here, you know, whatever I can do. And they actually had a fund, and they raised $1,350.
Yeah, to pay for the funeral and all that stuff.
Come to find out, it's like fucking America's Most Wanted. This guy gets busted for a robbery.
He a couple weeks later.
He sees his mugshot on the news and it's like, this guy isn't dead.
Violation of the highest degree. So, all right, so what are they going to charge him with? Because, you know, that's a federal offense to fake your death, right?
Well, I don't think there's a charge there. They're gonna sue him. He's not gonna be charged for faking his death because he didn't trick the authorities on it.
I want to see this shit on Judge Judy or Judge Mathis.
Yeah, or Judge
because
Joel Brown.
It's, you know, it's about $1,300, so it's small claims.
Yeah, but for him, it's not about the money. It's about the principle.
Well, the principle is all we have when we're dealing with the owner of the New York Knickerbockers, James Dolan, who was mistakenly unidentified.
Well, he didn't have any identification on him.
Because the person, well, all right, does he have to? He runs and owns Madison Square Garden.
Come on, B.
Wait.
Come on, B.
Is he, so what, who is he? The Great Oz behind a curtain and shit all the time?
Listen, you tell me, okay.
Let's talk about what happened first, right?
All
right,
so he was trying to get into the Delta Sky 360 Club. Which is, you know, the swankiest of the swankiest.
Right.
And he got to the door, and the person's like, hey. And, you know, shit just happens. This has happened to you. You're straight VIP. You get ushered in. But for some people, you know, hey, you know, I need to get in. These are the rules. These are, you know, firm rules. And he said, he gave the
Michael Irvin.
Yeah.
Do you know who I am?
And she's like, no.
Snoop Dogg. What's my name, fool?
I don't know who you are. He's like, how long have you worked here? And she's like, 3 years. And he's like, I'm your boss. I pay your salary.
And he fucking... Well, it's claimed and alleged
right.
that he fired her on the spot.
Yeah.
But apparently, you know, they're spin doctoring it right now and saying none of that happened. But it still makes a good story.
I bet it happened, but he's trying to make himself look like not an asshole.
Come on, man.
Too late.
It's too late for that. But let's give some happy drails. To the one only Tim McCarver, if you don't know, he's a former baseball player and he's been announcing baseball for 30 plus years.
Yep.
And he, you know, he's 71, he's retiring, and he talks too much during the games to me.
Is that possible? There's so much time to talk in a baseball game.
Yeah, it's slow, but you have to know when to talk during a baseball game as an announcer. And he was always like one that talked too much.
Right.
But my favorite moment was between him and Deion Sanders when Deion played for the Braves and right. they were in the World Series. And Tim McCarver was talking mad shit about Deion. Because you know Deion was playing football and baseball same time. So I guess he felt like the game was in the integrity of the game was right. being violated.
Because he wasn't true to the game.
By this Jerry Curl laden interloper.
Gold chain, right.
Chicken, fried chicken, and right.
But speaking of baseball, though, did you hear about Bob Costas?
Yeah, with the Luda.
Yeah,
we posted that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's, you know, he got name checked in a Luda song.
Well, they were talking about how did it start? Actually, they're talking about Jay-Z. Which we'll get to later on the show.
No doubt.
And they said, hey, Bob, do you know any rappers? And he's like, well, but it was totally rehearsed.
And you could tell that Bob knew he had to play the straight guy for it. But we posted that. You should check that out. Congratulations to Kyle Dake or Docky. I don't know how to
play. Let's say Dake.
Let's say Dake.
I guess Kyle Dake.
Let's go with Kyle Dake. Who, if you don't know, he is the first person to ever win 4 consecutive NCAA wrestling championships and all at different weight classes.
Now, is that crazy? I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but in terms of like...
You sound like a hater right now. You're about to get into some hate.
It's questioning more than hating. Because, I mean, okay, let's look at it, right? You're growing, you know, through the course of your collegiate career.
Okay.
You're going to grow. You know, subtle shifts in making weight. Everyone tries to make weight different.
I think it's an 8-pound difference between each weight class in university. And here's the thing. Every wrestler is not going to move up and down. So he has to face different wrestlers every year. Are you trying to take away from his accomplishment? This is called congrats, dog. Stop playing. Let's keep it moving. Yo, stats to Major League Baseball, who we often give the business to. the White Sox. Why is always the White Sox? Why can't be the Black Sox? So, now, let me stop.
Fuck red and wet. Right. I got it on Black Sox.
The Chicago White Sox are hosting the annual Civil Rights game. I think this will be the seventh one.
Yeah, it is, but I think this is the second. No, this is the third one.
The first 2 years, it was held as an exhibition game in Memphis.
And then last year, and then it just graduated to a regular season game, and there's a number of festivities that happen along with it.
I think a lot of that is in conjunction with this movie, 42, that's coming out about Jackie Robinson. Though they play the game in August.
But they've been doing this. It's not like they started doing it.
I think when they're making it more a part of their annual schedule. Like, before it was just an exhibition
game. No, but last year was a regular season game.
Okay.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, all right. So that was in 2010. They played in Cincinnati. 2011, it was in
Atlanta.
Do you think
a movie is really going to motivate these guys trying to...
Well, it's Bud Selig. He'll do anything to help him look better. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, too. Okay. Congrats to Shaquille Rashawn O'Neal getting his jersey retired in a crisscross fashion.
With a quickness, too. That was pretty quick. He just...
Who are they? They're going to give the 34 to someone else?
No, but I'm just saying, like, do you get your jersey retired usually that quickly after your career's over?
Why not? Why not? I think they wanted to do it before Kobe retired, too. They didn't want to do it together. I think it was appropriate.
Oh, no, I'm not questioning.
Because he's been gone from L.A. how many years?
Yeah. He's been gone from basketball for...
Yeah, but don't think of it like a Hall of Fame induction. Think about him leaving the Lakers. Okay. And he left the Lakers,
what, 2005? So that means Vince Carter should get his jersey retired next year?
Why not? Why not? But congratulations to Shaquille getting his number in the rafters of the Staples Center with the greats.
What did you think about the We Want Phil chants when Jackson
came out? Oh, it was the best. You know what? I said on Twitter, I said, this night would be incomplete unless Phil Jackson and Shaquille O'Neal jump Mike D'Antoni and Kobe and start screaming NWO and spray painting and shit. So
that would be something.
It would have been funny, right? But congratulations to Shaq.
And also, Kobe.
Kobe Bryant, now the fourth leading scorer in NBA history, surpassing the great. And I don't say this facetiously like I do other times.
Yes.
The great Wilt Chamberlain. And he's eyeing your boy. Right.
Does
next.
Kobe have like a Lenny Wilkins-esque type of record with like the most, you know, fourth most baskets made and third most shots attempted?
Is it?
I don't know. I'm just curious.
I know he's up there in the shots taking. Takes,
you know he's taking the shots.
He's probably taking as many shots as Kareem has.
Oh, come on.
All right, am I reaching?
You're being a bad guy now.
I'm not? All right. Yeah. So let me give him his stats. Congratulations to Kobe Bean Bryant. Also, a guy who we've spoken about several times in the show, was signed to the Atlanta Falcons as a free agent.
Yep, Brian Banks.
Brian Banks, and we hate to use that R word, but that's part of his redemption story right now.
Well, it's part of his story.
It is. You know what? I'm happy for him, and I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, wrongly incarcerated for 5 years in prison. Got off, got a chance to follow his dreams of playing in the NFL. A number of teams were interested, as we said before. And now he's got a contract with the Falcons.
Yeah. So, you know, congratulations to Brian Banks. Want to send a Rest in Power shout out as we pour out a little fat-free and low-fat water for former NBA referee Greg Willard, who passed away far too young at the age of 54. He had pancreatic cancer, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And I remember he when he reffed the last game of the playoffs that he did, and they were saying he was sick. And so he's been struggling with that, or he was struggling with it, and we want to... hope that he has a happy home going. So, shouts to Greg Willard there. Some birthday shouts.
Bring him on.
Blake Griffin.
I'm thinking of one of those.
The commercials. What's his name? Not Sit Ubu Sit. What is it? Uvu or whatever it is? No. That he speaks to the...
The car?
In the car, the Kia.
I don't know. I have a Kia, but mine doesn't talk.
All right, well, going from Kia to Mia, happy birthday to Mia Hamm. The great Pat Riley had a birthday as well. Bobby Orr, who we talked about earlier, all day. Adrian Peterson had a birthday. Moses Malone, Mumbler. that's cold. Let me stop. Yeah, Jason Kidd had a birthday. The great Peyton Manning had a birthday. Chris Bosh got robbed on his birthday.
I know.
That's crazy. And you know what? The worst part is people are saying that because his wife Instagrammed when they were leaving and where they were going, that she's a suspect all of a sudden in this thing.
They say she's a suspect.
No, I'm not even... Well, you know, it's people on Twitter. You know how they're flipping it.
I mean, she Instagrammed everything. So.
Yeah, but to
I think it's more of a tip than it's a
suspect. All right, so that's... But that could make it an inside job like that. But hopefully he had a good birthday.
Yeah, and insurance coverage.
No doubt. Why would they take those things but leave his championship ring?
Yeah, good point.
You know who it was? Dexter Pittman.
I was saying Mario Chalmers, but hey.
No, Chalmers got a ring. And so did Pittman, actually.
Yeah, he did.
But anyway, shout out to Debbie Thomas on her birthday. You know who Debbie Thomas is?
Only because you told me before. You reminded me who she was. Well, Olympic medalist figure skater.
First black and the only black woman to ever win a gold in Olympic figure skating back in, 1988 in Calgary? Yeah,
back then.
So, shout out to her. Cheryl Swoops has a birthday.
The first woman to have her own signature basketball shoe.
And what else?
And she was the first... No, she wasn't the first lesbian. But she was the first lesbian to stop being a lesbian. No, sorry. She was married. Had a son named Jordan.
Right.
Then she became a lesbian. And then she stopped being a lesbian and started dating men again.
So, was she a lesbian or just... bi-curious.
I can't speak for her on that, but she did come out. She came out and said she was a lesbian when she was a lesbian. So
can you be born lesbian or can you just choose to be anyway? Yeah, enough. Anyway. Vladimir Klitschko had a birthday, the heavyweight champion of the world. Mm-hmm. The original PG point guard of Hot Haberdashery.
Yes.
Your man, Clyde Frazier. Earl Campbell had a birthday.
Okay.
He ate a lot of sausages. That's his thing now. The sausage, the links that he makes down there.
Have you had some links before? Have you had beef links? I've had beef links.
I don't know if he makes those. Okay. If it's Earl Campbell and it's Texas, pork is all four basic food groups in Texas. Just so you know. The immortal Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight champion.
Yep.
Had a birthday, and with Jack Johnson, you know they're still trying to push for him to get a pardon.
Really?
I mean, Jack's been dead fucking almost 100 years, so yeah. I don't know how it matters, but yeah, really. It's more a political thing than anything else. Of course, Mr. Hockey had a birthday, his 85th, Gordie Howe.
That's right.
Hockey Time USA. And a number 69, episode 69 representative. Who?
Jared Allen
from the Minnesota Vikings.
Boom.
Had a birthday, but let's get into this thing we call All Balls Don't Bounce. And the ball that we didn't know would bounce properly was the one that will happen as a result of the horrific injury that occurred during the Louisville, Duke game to the Cardinals' Kevin Ware.
Well, I think, so obviously, but I'm sure at this point you either have seen or very aware of the gruesome break that he suffered. That wasn't trying to be funny at all. But, you know, the big question started coming up was, is he going to have to foot the bill?
Who's going to pay this bill?
He's a student athlete.
And that's a funny term.
It is.
You know, the reason being that they use that term is so they don't have to pay workers' compensation.
Exactly. So the NCAA. But,
so does that mean that the student athlete is a worker, an employee of this set of said university, and an employee of the bigger corporation, the NCAA?
Well, no, because if that was the case, then they have to pay them because they're compensating them, which is why they have to use that loophole. Now the schools have to have insurance for the players when they're playing sports, whatever. The NCAA will only step in with a catastrophic insurance thing if it's catastrophic.
Who determines catastrophe?
Well, it's determined.
NCAA?
Well, of course. But it's determined, like, catastrophic in the sense where, like, if you were to, like, lose use of your limb.
So when your bone is sticking out of your leg.
Yeah, but bones heal.
No, no. When your bone is sticking out of your leg, what do they do? Do they Chris Rock it and say, put some tussin on it?
Hey, did it look like, catastrophic? It looked catastrophic. But
yeah.
But it's a leg break.
All right.
He broke his leg.
And he's,
so, and they can put it back in place and heal it and it'll be fine. The only thing I feel, though, is that, you know, I'm sure you probably agree with me on this, is that this is the big money maker for the NCAA. This is the main stage.
Oh, my God.
And even, and precedent or not, it would look good if they said, we're going to step in and cover these bills, his bills.
Well, it said that it said that the university is going to cover it.
Which is they're supposed to.
Right. No, all of it.
Right. But the university the university is supposed to. I'm saying the NCAA should step in and cover it.
Then that, you know what? If they did that, then it totally opens the floodgates.
Yeah, you're right.
For the Ed O'Bannon case against them, because now you got to pay them. If you're going to pay Kevin Ware for his injury.
I'm saying Kevin Ware's bills.
All right, but his bills too.
No, I'm not saying
so Kevin how many Ware. Other people have been injured in a catastrophic way for playing football or even, you know, running track and field or whatever? We don't know that because it's not on one of the main revenue-generating sports.
The revenue-generating sport.
Football
as well. Yeah, you're right.
Even though the NCAA has nothing to do with football because it's BCS, so they've outsourced that title.
Right.
But it's
you know, fact that we have to talk about this, though.
Well, it's real. Here's the worst part. The NCAA has insulated themselves so well because they've promoted this thing over and over and over again. Now, if Kevin Ware gets somebody in his ear who says, yo, Edo, they're pimping your image. They're pimping you to tell these feel-good stories about how we take care of our own. But Adidas made a t-shirt that's supposed to be as ambiguous as possible, kind of like the NBA saying that Jerry West is not the logo, when we all know it's the logo.
Right.
This t-shirt that they created from Adidas says all in for number 5. And it's a Louisville t-shirt.
Right.
Just like on those video games, even though my name wasn't on the back of my jersey, during the 1990 NCAA season at Rice University, Will Strickland was wearing number 24 at Rice.
Did he have a high top?
Yes, I did.
No, did he have a high top in the game?
Oh, in the cartoon? You know what? I don't remember. I have to look at those video games.
They probably did. Because you know what I mean?
Well, that's an argument, too, when they say capture his likeness because, you know, we're supposed to be made in God's image, too, but we don't know what God looks like.
So, this t-shirt, is Kevin Ware getting in any part revenue?
Hell no. But Rick Pitino's going to get a new Adidas deal. And I guarantee you, his son, who just got the job at Minnesota, will be rocking Adidas next year, even though they were a Nike school in Minnesota. Want to put money on it? We'll talk about it later when we find out if he does, right? But anyway, Kevin Ware won't see any of that. And let's not even talk about the rehab after the fact.
Yeah, and that's where it could be, I don't want to say catastrophic, but if his head doesn't heal proper when he's like has a limp forever, then...
When I went to school, you got your scholarship for 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it was taken care of. Now they do it on a year-by-year basis.
But based on the scope and magnitude of the story, how everyone's aware of it, they're not
going to... Okay, you can say that, but this is where I said the insulation comes in. So he'll get the scholarship, or they'll give him a deferred scholarship so they allow a player to play in his place and make him like a student trainer or something. Right. So he can finish his degree or whatever the case, but once he's done, no rehab, no anything, even though it happened under the surfaces of the University of Louisville. What if he, what if he sues? Then, because the NCAA has access to the major, I guess, networks and information to put out that says, oh, wow, we supported him. It looks pretty ungrateful or that he's an ingrate to sue us for something where we were supporting him in the first place. You can't see that happening?
In the court of public opinion, yeah. In the court of law, I think he still has a case.
Of course he does. And that's the point, is that if he does sue, they're going to flip the court of public...
But it won't...
He'll be the enemy.
But it won't really matter because everyone's heart like it's such a gut-wrenching injury, everyone's heart will align with it. The NCAA will be mad, that's it. No one else is going to care.
Well, you know, we know for sure that Kevin Ware won't get money as a result of what he does, because most of that money is going to the athletic directors and all the administrators at the school. When we look at shit like the Lost Dodds, who is the AD at the University of Texas, who makes well over $1 million a year, or that the coaches at, you know, state universities like the Ohio State University, where Urban Meyer is the highest paid state employee, these kids lose a scholarship over getting a slice of pizza.
Yeah, and the worst thing about these ADs is that, like you said, they're like Supreme Court judges.
They get them forever, right?
They get them forever. Why Unless not? There's a big enough scandal.
Well, and even then, they did try to hold on. Graham Spaniard from Penn State was holding on for dear life, yo. Well,
why wouldn't you? A cool million?
It's a license to steal money all day. But, you know, when we're talking about, I guess, these athletic directors, and you said bye-bye to the Big East last time.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss that name, but I don't like American Athletic.
American Athletic is not, there's nothing, there's no, I don't think there's a name they could have came up with that you would have.
They just,
you're so
why not keep the Big East?
Because the teams that left took the Big East name.
Okay.
Which so is crazy.
That like is that like the Temptations and the other Temptations, or the Jackson 5 and the Jacksons and all that?
So they would have had to do a variation of the Big East, which you didn't want. You didn't want the new Big East, but they would have had to because, you know, that's my daddy's name.
Basically. But not feeling that name, American Athletic.
I'm like actually not feeling the conference, to tell you the truth. It's not. I'm not really.
Why? Because of the teams that are in?
Yeah, the schools aren't, you know, making me lose my mind or anything like that.
Okay, but
I mean, Houston, Memphis, SMU, East Carolina,
Central Florida,
Tulane, Tulsa, and Navy.
But, all right, but see, here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Louisville and Rutgers are in that Temple, Houston, Memphis. What?
It's all right.
They got some, you know what, who you see is going to be top heavy. Anybody who's playing Central Florida is going to get mad wins.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Speaking of wins, our girl Brittany Griner didn't get a big win.
Who would have thunk it?
I thought they were going back to the finals for sure.
Easily. I mean, that's all they've been doing for the last 3 years.
Yeah, but Louisville, back in the news again. The Lady Cardinals surprised them in the women's tournament. And there's no more basketball, at least at the collegiate level, for Brittany Griner. But she has gotten a very unique offer from one Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, he said, if I have a pick in the second round and she's the best player on the board, I will draft her. I will give an opportunity to try and make this team.
And that is horseshit. He will not waste a draft pick when it's only two rounds to draft on Brittany Griner. Also, if anything, he'll bring her in as a free agent.
Which he said he would do as well.
So, you know, there's nothing he loses here.
No, exactly. And it's great in PR, great marketing, and, you know, having her try for the team.
But who is it great for? Is it better for the WNBA or better for the NBA?
I think it's definitely good for the WNBA. I think it shows acceptance on the NBA part. To like
acceptance, that's a nasty word.
Well, I can't say tolerance.
Close enough. And here's the worst part, though. But then it calls into question, like, how people talk about Brittany Griner. And, you know, she has masculine features, or she, you know, sounds like a man, which is really not about what she does on the court.
Well, and that's a way for people to justify how effective she is on the court, right?
Right.
But let's get to the heart of the matter. She's 6'8". We know she can play. She can dunk. Can she hang in the NBA?
No. She can play with guys, you know, if it's just pickup or whatever. But she cannot. She doesn't have any dribble drive game. She doesn't can't shoot, you know, three pointers or has any sort of effective mid range game. She's too small on the post. So what is she gonna do?
Well, that's the problem. It's like, you know what? It's like a kid growing too fast, and he goes to, like, you know, he's very awkward.
He's
a kid who is like 6'8" and he's played center his whole life, and then he goes to the next level, and he's not big enough and quick enough to play outside of positions, whatever. Because she's the biggest girl on the court, so she's playing in the post, and that's all she's got. But she's going to be playing against guys who are 4 or 5 feet taller, inches
and,
taller.
And size-wise, just strength-wise.
Exactly. So.
But you know what? I wanted to go and do it. If Ann Miners can go and do it in 1979, I'm surprised Cheryl Miller never tried it, or like, you know, Tina Thompson, or Lisa Leslie, or someone like that.
I'd like to see her in Summer League. I think she'd do okay in Summer League.
I think she would.
Yeah.
But congrats to Brittany and Mark Cuban. Smart man. I was thinking about your boy.
My boy.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Well, actually, it's Morgan Campbell's
boy. It's
Morgan
Campbell. Morgan Campbell adopted him many moons ago.
Yes, he did. Akil Carr.
What, is a sophomore baby?
Yes. The teenage baby daddy. is headed to Europe, or at least he announced that, because I don't think any European team was like, yeah, come on over.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because you've always talked about this in terms of, like, you know, a high school kid not going to college,
yeah,
taking another route to be eligible for the NBA. And Akil Carr, who also has a 1-year-old child to support. And he's also, what, 5'6"? How tall is he?
He's 5'6". He's 18, going on 19 as a... you know, I'm being a little filthy with this shit, talking about his 27-year-old baby mama. She should get her ass beat. That's just me, personally. Hey, not that I'm advocating a woman getting beaten. I'm just saying that shit is ridiculous.
Well, no, I was going to be just as bad as you and say something, but I will. I got you.
No, say what you.
Maybe she just saw potential in terms of, like, having a, you know, he could be.
And he could. Cash, like, he can play. If you look at guys like Nate Robinson, who are, you know, very successful. I mean, he's in the NBA. And yeah, it's not like he's on the bench or something, or a sideshow. Akil Carr can score. He can play basketball. But we knew as soon as he said he was signing to Seton Hall, he was never going to Seton Hall.
No. And he's not that strong. I mean, he's not academically challenged, but he's not the greatest student. So you kind of see the writing was on the wall.
Did he play in a McDonald's All-Star game? I don't think he played.
No, he didn't get invited.
Well, that should tell you something. That whole European thing, I see a whole lot of Corleone Young in his life.
Yeah, and his game isn't necessarily suited for... It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, because he's not going to go over there and drop 52, but I liked how he did it. He dropped 52 and then announced, hey, I'm not going to college. I'm going to the pros. You're not Brandon Jennings either.
You're not, and he's also not Andrew Wiggins.
No, who was playing in the McDonald's All-Star game, and he played in it. His team lost. I think, what is it, 110-99?
It was an All-Star game.
Yes, that's true. It's true.
Still undeclared.
Yes.
Well, I think, was he the only player in the game who was undeclared?
If I'm not mistaken.
And he's definitely the only player in the top 10 or 20 kids
easily
in high school who has
easily
declared.
Well, you know somebody wants to get back into the game is John Calipari.
Oh,
who, after this last season, which many UK fans would consider a disaster. Of
or
epic proportion.
Or basketball pundits like ourselves.
What would we call it?
Is there a worse...
I don't know.
Worse word than disaster?
Well, he's trying to get back into the game. And
the only way, and the best way he knows how.
Recruiting. And he may have recruited the greatest freshman class in the history. I mean, you know, people use a lot of superlatives like that. But Julius Randle, along with those Harrison twins.
Uh-huh.
And if he were able to score... Andrew Wiggins, who he supposedly spoke with last week.
But before even getting Wiggins, if he gets Wiggins, he still has the best. He still has a ridiculous freshman.
Oh,
class.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. But there are not enough balls. And not enough, you know, I can't see it happening. You see him going to UK?
No. We've talked this a number of times. He's not. Especially with the amount of bodies that are in UK right now, he's not going to go there.
Well, he's definitely a player-friendly coach. Unlike our guy, Mike Rice, at the what do they call it? The State University of New Jersey at Rutgers or whatever. I can't.
Yeah.
They have a long ass name, but Rutgers University men's basketball coach. If you haven't seen the Outside the Lines video, we posted it. He was fired yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but what's interesting is, and what happened with Mike Rice was is the conduct he had with his teammates, whether with the players. Physically abusing them, verbally berating them, you know.
And I understand being verbally berated sometimes.
But with the choice of words, though, I mean,
yeah,
you know, the MFs, you know, the anti-gay words, all those things.
Yeah, he crossed the line.
Yeah, some of those and like things. Throwing, whipping the ball at players' heads.
Oh, he.
Yeah,
I'm surprised nobody knocked him out.
Me either. But why this is interesting is that this the footage has been, you know, accumulated over a while.
Right.
Outside the Lines had the story.
He got suspended only.
Yes, he got suspended previously. But now that it's coming to light.
Right, so Tim Panetti was trying to keep him.
He got suspended in December. AD. Sorry, he got suspended in December with it?
Or yeah, but right. See, here's the thing. The AD there, Tim Panetti, just suspended him.
Exactly.
He didn't fire him. The guy who helped get him fired was a former Providence point guard, Eric Murdoch, who played in the NBA for 9 years. And he was the operations director for the team. And he couldn't believe that some of the stuff he was saying. So he reported it.
Yeah.
And he got fired. So he's suing the school right now.
Exactly.
And
Murdoch got fired.
Yeah.
He's suing the school.
It's a big mess out there.
Yeah, but obviously Panetti let him go now because of the story.
Public pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Of course. Everyone's like, how could he not?
No one knew.
No one did know. That's why he was only suspended.
So who was recording?
No, what I'm saying is the media, we didn't all know when he got suspended.
So let's say that Panetti knew the whole time.
He did know
how Mike Rice, because Murdoch said that when he came into, when Panetti came into the gym, it was like Debo walking. You know, I'll be quiet right now. Exactly. But when he's gone, I'm going to start talking.
Exactly.
And that's what happened.
Yep.
So, you know, that's another job opening. And they're saying that Lawrence Frank, because his wife is sick, and, you know, he coached the Nets in New Jersey.
Right.
And they live there. He might go back, even though he's saying he's not. Also, Danny Hurley from Rhode Island, considered for that job. You never know. It's a lot of open jobs and bad ADs and bad coaches. In particular, one bad AD who was not my AD when I was at Rice, just to let you know, Rick Greenspan.
The Harvard of the South.
Of course. Thank you. Rick Greenspan, the athletic director at Rice University, has been, I guess, accused by Oregon Ducks forward Arslan Kazemi. Of being a raging racist.
Well, did he I guess, sorry. Because Emmy didn't make these comments to the media, or did he make these comments when he left? Because he's not really saying anything.
Well,
he's it's been said.
He's saying, that's why I said he alleges that that was it. But he did transfer, and...
To the University of Oregon, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, in his hardship waiver, he claimed that Greenspan routinely made insulting remarks based on ethnicity and religion to him and to other players on that team.
Yep, and he made comments like recruit more terrorists, and you know said if the Al Qaeda meetings were going on.
Yeah, I think that might be insulting, just a little bit.
Someone,
but I wonder what's going to happen to him. Again, these guys keep these jobs, like Supreme Court justices, like you said earlier. And it's interesting that it's coming out now. And, you know, it's not just these guys. It's not the Lost Dodds. It's not the Rick Greenspans. It's even referees.
Yeah. Especially those who have that NBA pedigree too, right?
Well, Ed T. Rush used to be an NBA ref. Now he's the head of the Pac-12 referees. And it's alleged that he was trying to railroad and make calls leaning against Arizona head coach Sean Miller in the tournament.
Well, he basically, at a referee's meeting, offered incentives to the referees if they rang him up.
Which would be a technical.
Yeah, or get him out of the game. $5,000, trip to Cancun, Vegas, whatever your heart desires.
Wow. This is like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. And Michael Irving took him up on that and gave him a T. Was it justified?
No, because you remember the rant he gave at the end of the game? He said he didn't touch the ball. He touched the ball. He touched the ball. Like he kept saying over and over.
And that's what he said.
Right. And
I don't know what league that's warranted as a technical foul.
Yeah, but just the fact that it happened, you can connect all these dots. Is a black eye on the conference that we said was woefully disrespected in the tournament.
Yeah, and the story that we looked at in CBS Sports spoke with the referee, you know, under the condition of anonymity, and said that's not in his the referee who gave a technical, it's not in his character to give a T like that.
There was no reason to give a T for saying what he was
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. And he also said that Ed Rush was like a terrorist in that meeting, just all on all the refs, and that's the kind of environment he fosters. So
he's probably flexing the NBA steel on him.
There is going to be an investigation.
Well, they rushed to madness, just like maybe the University of Southern California did in hiring Andy Enfield, the feel-good story of the NCAA tournament, the former head coach of Florida Gulf Coast.
Yep.
Just got a ridiculous raise from $157,000 a year to well over $1 million, even though he was a self-made millionaire, according to the stories. Why are people patting his pockets? There's another Debo reference, and it's in California.
But he went to a small. He was at a small school, so of course he's making small money going to a big school. But this isn't the first time. This tournament run isn't the reason why he got the job. It's part of it, but he's been looked at for a while as a coach that was doing his thing.
So you're saying that people were looking at Andy Enfield as a head coach, and you got a guy like, you know, my boy. Chris Walker, who was coaching at Texas Tech, didn't get an opportunity when they hired Tubby Smith down there. He's been an assistant for 17 years at the major collegiate level. He hasn't gotten a look.
Did he make wine out of whatever that expression
is? Water out of wine.
Enfield made water out of wine.
Okay, I'm not knocking him. Saying it like even like Seth Davis was talking about Tubby Smith, who was considered for either one of those jobs. He was like, you know, I like Tubby Smith, but shouldn't an assistant with some experience get an opportunity? Chris coached under Westhead out at Loyola Marymount. He recruited California. He never got a shot. So
old boy fraternity, my friends.
Clearly, it is. And when you speak about old boys fraternity, you think Bob Knight, the general, Robert Montgomery Knight, helped Steve Alford go from New Mexico and get the job that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wanted at UCLA.
Who cares if Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wanted the job?
I'm just saying.
Of course he wanted the job. It's his alma mater.
And he's burned too many bridges. Yo, money, he's on a show called Splash.
Dude, I watched that shit.
Did you see it?
Yeah, you know someone had me watching that show.
Oh, my God. No, she didn't.
Of course. Well, only one episode. After Rudy got kicked off, she's like, I'm not watching this
show. I've never seen it. I just happened to see he tweeted that he was on the show. I'm like, are you kidding?
It's a reality show of celebrities diving.
Doing
regular Dennis is like the coach, and they dive. You know, they dive and do flips and shit, whatever. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He's on a redemption tour of epic proportion too, because there's no way that I could. It's almost undignified for him to do it.
It is, but I mean, yeah.
He's because, reaching so
because
hard.
A lot of the people on the show are like kind of. Past, they jumped the shark.
Totally washed up.
Yeah.
Right?
What's wrong with Steve Alford, though?
Why did he get this job? He plays the same kind of way that Ben Howland plays. Okay. He's not an up-tempo, move-the-ball type coach.
I'm not even talking about this. You know that he basically agreed in principle, or I think he signed a letter of intent with New Mexico, and then turned around and said, I'm gone.
Well, the coaches can do it, but the players can't. Whatever. Steve Alford, forget it. It's pretty, you know what? It's spring. Let's talk some baseball.
Yeah, my favorite sport.
Why do you say it like that?
Because it's not my favorite sport. I give about two flex about baseball. But the Jays are looking good, so I'm paying attention to that story.
We got to go to the game this year.
Yeah, we do.
All right, and hang out. I want to go when they play the Yankees so I can sit behind Ichiro again like my son and I did.
Right.
And I told him, if you scream up, Ichiro number one, he'll throw you the ball at the end of the inning, and he wouldn't do it. And then this kid next to us said it, and Ichiro threw him the ball, and my son was crying the whole rest of the day. Oh, he was pissed. But Bud Selig, the great Bud Selig, if you didn't hear about this story, Major League Baseball actually sued a company, a clinic that's now closed for them giving the drugs to the Alex Rodriguez's and the supposedly Greg Bronze
and Melky Cabrera
and all these people.
This is why I don't like baseball. No, like that's like
don't take responsibility at all for these individuals.
That's like a parent suing a drug dealer,
right? Because you knew you shouldn't have sold them to him,
so I'm going to sue you.
Right.
I'm not going to worry about my child who bought these drugs after you'd used them for 5 years.
Ridiculous. What an ass clown.
That's about as good as the case of the guy suing the Spurs for sitting the starters.
True enough. Or the dude on Cops, because you know I have no life and I watch Cops. Who went?
You don't have a Cheaters reference on that one?
No, not on this one. All right. But on Cops, like this dude called the cops to find the dudes who stole his drugs from him.
A word?
Word.
Hey, what happened when Joey Greco got stabbed? Did they charge that guy?
It was fake.
It was fake?
They set it up.
Really?
Even though I've been calling for them to free Joey Greco, that shit was set up too. That's probably why they fired his ass.
But Joey Greco is good, though.
He's better. Like, he's such compassion.
The compassion is good, but the subtle instigator.
So, what? You mean you're laying on top of his wife, but... And he says in these subtle tones and shit, right?
Really, what's going on here?
But you talk about, you know, having a problem. You realize that the very terrible Houston Astros are now in the American League.
Yep.
They just got run through by the Texas Rangers. Yep. I think Yu Darvish almost had a perfect game against them a couple of days ago. Their payroll is like $23.7 million for the whole team.
Right.
Alex Rodriguez, who won't play this year probably,
right,
makes $29 million. So he makes more than the whole team.
So who the fuck are you fucking Capital One? What's in your wallet?
I'm not like, patting his pockets.
So what? Why are you watching what this team has?
I just think that's crazy.
It is crazy, but if an investment banker's got the Maybach and all that shit, like, hey, more power to him. If the Astros don't want to pony up...
You're Canadian. You're not supposed to be a capitalist like this.
Hey, the Astros going to pony... The Yankees are ponying up. Wow. It's baseball. This is where you can do whatever you want.
All right, so you don't like baseball. Do you like the fact that the Atlanta Braves had an all-black outfield?
It's cool. I mean...
Are you saying it's post-racial and it doesn't matter?
You know, yeah, I mean, I think it's cool because, and I'm not mad at the influx of Latinos in baseball because they're basically taking over. And I don't say that in a bad way, but I mean, you know, they're the majority, which is good. So I guess it's good to see, you know, you got three issue, black guys in there.
I think part of the issue is that baseball has become less and less black over the years because kids don't choose that as a career option because they can find more money in football. Too. Yeah, true enough. Great point. That there are more and more opportunities in boxing. When you see Floyd Mayweather is the richest athlete in the world, you might want to get your head beat in to get that money.
Exactly.
Or that, you know, you can make as much, if not more money, playing football or basketball. But when you see guys getting $219 million, $214 million contracts, black kids, baseball, it is an option.
Yep.
Whatever. Speaking of black kids and options, you know, he came from the bottom.
Started from the bottom?
Basically. But he's here now. And I'm not talking about Drake. I'm talking about Jay-Z. Jay-Z.
Are you going to keep going? Keep going.
What?
Continue.
What were you going to say?
Hey, I like Jay-Z. Jay-Z's my man. But we have to kind of put this thing to context. This is the signing of Kano. Like, he's not the active agent.
Right, but all right, let's talk about how it looks on a perceptions basis. If you didn't know, Jay-Z, through Roc Nation, has signed Robbie Cano, the MVP of the World Baseball Classic.
You know they also made another signing?
Huh?
Who? Victor Cruz.
See? So they're going after all the Dominican dudes, apparently.
In New York.
Yeah, so that's almost the same thing.
Right.
But...
Yeah.
The issue I have with it is not so much that Jay-Z took Cano from Scott Boras, who is a legendary agent in baseball, but the way that people are perceiving it, that somehow Cano's career is going to take a hit because he left Scott Boras. He left that plantation.
Right, because Roc Nation is affiliated with CAA.
Right, so don't act like, you know, it's just some dude. This is not a masterpiece situation.
It's not a masterpiece situation.
Ricky Williams is not playing.
Sean Carter doesn't even have his license, agent
right.
license.
All it is about marketing and promotions and lifestyle.
And that is a great move.
But I have an issue, like I said, with the perception that somehow, because he went to a black agent somehow, because they propped Jay-Z up.
Of course, because that's...
That is a problem for Cano in his career, that he's going with the black guy, but he was cool when he was with Boris.
I don't know about the black... I think...
I'm trying to tell you that...
They're trying to prop it up because they're trying to make it like a Master P thing.
Right, but that's what... All right, you can look at it that way, but clearly, let's call it what it is, Dwayne.
No, it's also... It's, well, you can look at it two ways. You're looking at it as a black thing. I'm looking at the... A guy who doesn't have
I'm not looking at sports it as a black thing.
Experience, I'm not looking, thing. But I'm we not, know.
Where do you go to learn how to be a sports agent?
You probably work within the sports system.
How? I mean, where do you go? Jay-Z is a mogul. If he was a drug dealer and he became this big mogul who has done everything from clothing to being a minor role, yeah. Like, so there's no training for this. So right. Who are the people who are criticizing the move in the first place? People who have no, like he said, you say you can create a new Jay-Z, then do it. But they haven't. Jay-Z is an exception to the rule.
Why are you caught up in the people criticizing? This is a big deal. Just celebrate, man.
Wait, oh, how are you going to tell me you tried to shit on the congrats earlier on?
Hey. My hater raid's done.
Bet. Let me take the IV out of your damn arm now.
Yo, Victor Cruz is also another big move, too. I mean, like... You know, and I think what's more important, you're right, is being missed, is that the marketing opportunities he's going to bring for these guys is going to be ridiculous.
Well, it's the same thing that 50 Cent is doing with boxing. And even before him, Jay Prince, who used to be an advisor for Floyd Mayweather, he was doing a lot of that stuff, too, with Al Heyman. All these guys who are not involved in sports somehow made these athletes highly visible and rich. How did it happen?
Yep.
Well... There used to be a fear of a black planet, were the public enemy. Maybe there's a fear of black ownership. I don't know.
Well, we're a bit of a way from black ownership.
No, I'm just saying. Ask Magic Johnson. I'm just saying. We can ask the question.
I think it's a valid question. At allballsunbounced@gmail.com. I think it's majority ownership is where it's going to be a fear. Because... You know, the Williams sisters have a piece of the Dolphins. Magic's got the Dodgers. Jay-Z's got the Nets. But they're not majority owners. No one's worried.
Not yet. Right. Not yet. It's like Rich and Chris Rock references everywhere. You know, Jerry Buss is wealthy. Shaq is rich back in the day. So right. Anyway, speaking of boxing, you know, Olympic boxing, in order to make itself look more legitimate. Yeah, right. Has taken away the head gear. There's right. no more head gear. Mm-hmm. And they're changing the way they score Olympic boxing matches. And I think part of that is because the U.S. had a shit team in the Olympics this year. and that Europeans, especially Eastern Europeans, are dominating the sport at a heavier weight.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's a big part of that. But is it progression or not?
Well, one of the arguments that was being made is that... is the headgear actually reducing head trauma?
Right.
And then the other argument was that wearing the headgear allows people to take more sustained hits for a longer periods of time, therefore
creating really, more head trauma.
Exactly. So we all know what's in the marketing of it all, though, too. And, you know, if they have the system in place, you're going to get those younger American kids who are going to want to come fight through the system because it's much more like prize fighting.
Right.
So
it's a perception thing.
I think it's a perception thing.
Well... What's the perception of the new split now between HBO and Showtime and Top Rank and Golden Boy? The two the four biggest, I guess, entities in boxing have decided to choose sides.
Yep.
So HBO has now chosen to go with Top Rank and Showtime with Golden Boy.
Yep.
But it seems like an emotional move by former Showtime or Showbox executive Ken Hirschman, who now runs HBO Boxing, to say we're not going to deal with any Golden Boy boxers. That's a Bob Arum move.
Yeah,
all day.
It's not you can't splinter the sport. You know what I mean? You can't make alliances like that. I mean, but that's...
They feel like they have stars. They don't. All the stars are aligned at Showbox.
Right.
Once Floyd Mayweather signed that deal, and now they have, Adrian Broner, who may be the reason why this happened in the first place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Because Broner, who was arrested recently in Miami for biting a security guard and then blame Paulie Malignaggi, of all people, like he's mobbed up or something. Yeah. Yeah, they set me up to bite somebody.
They put his arm in my arm.
Right. Who is the next Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah.
And they see a lot of building and growth potential in him. Is he that guy that has, was the breaking point for Hirschman over at HBO?
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And, I mean, they're throwing their eggs in the basket.
Well, Broner is with Golden Boy.
Yeah.
But he calls himself Mr. HBO because once Floyd left, he was the guy.
Exactly.
But what happened?
Does he leave H? Does he leave? Because the thing is, it's so crazy because it's not like you're leaving different promotions,
right?
Well, in fact, you are. But it's being based on a network. You know what I mean?
It's tough, and I think that HBO is going to lose in this because if you got the guys that generate the most money.
Yeah.
You're going to be second tier and you know.
And also, too, they control the fights, right?
Yeah, well, again, we always talk about the damn inmates running the asylum. We're seeing it now. Speaking of inmates, Robert Guerrero, the ghost, may be ghost sooner than later, and not just from the ring after he loses on May 4th to Floyd Mayweather. This idiot brought a gun. I don't care if it's loaded or not.
It wasn't loaded, but still.
That's not even the point.
Because it doesn't make a difference.
He should know, and his handlers should know, that New York has the most stringent gun laws in the country, or some of them. He tried to check in his gun through the baggage claim. He did. He put it on the belt and everything.
He put the gun by itself on the belt?
No, it was in a box. It was in a lock box, right, and everything. Well, they see right through the thing, like, yo, what are you doing with this? You know? He's going to take it on the plane, yo. This is the whole point. If you're taking this through, come on, dog.
Yo, I'm surprised. You're right. And I mean, I'm not even condoning a professional athlete, but his handler is... It's a class A felony. A felony. This is
He's going to do time.
Yeah. And stupidity.
Well, felonious stupidity. And he'll be all right. He's going to get a good check after taking that beating from Floyd.
Yeah, he's still going to be able to fight.
Yeah, because his first, I guess, hearing is not until the 14th of May.
Right.
And when you talk about, I guess, hearings, there was the rules committee for the NFL. Came together and thinking about rules. We've been talking about rules changing and everything.
Of course.
And
it's all about the safety of the players.
Right. Sure it is. So they got rid of the tuck rule. If you didn't know what the tuck rule is, we'll post something about Tom Brady rule.
Well, Tom Brady.
And but this helmet rule where the offensive players can no longer use the crown of their helmets to hit, a defensive player.
Right.
Unless you risk a penalty now. So Trent Richardson? Yeah, from the Cleveland Browns. He hit somebody in the chest and knocked their helmet all the way off. And they used that in the whole argument against it.
Right, exactly.
Even though he didn't suffer any brain trauma.
Yeah.
But I guess they're looking at this lawsuit that they're facing. Everybody's in suit.
But, it's part of the... I mean, if you're running at full speed and other men of sizable speed are chasing you, you need to brace for the impact.
Well, he's talking about, like, using it as
a ram.
As a way...
As a whatever.
Well, but Jim Brown
never used his head.
Right.
Know. But, I mean, if you want to...
Why are you saying it like that? The greatest running back in NFL history said, I used my shoulders, I used my arms, I didn't have to use my helmet to knock somebody off.
But we can't compare... The defensive players.
I'm not comparing
errors. I'm just saying. No, but I'm not. What I'm saying is that the players of today are stronger and faster than they were when Jim Brown was playing. And Jim Brown had Steve from accounting and some other big guys chasing after him. I'm not taking anything away from what he's done. But
Emmitt Smith doesn't like the idea.
Fair.
All right. So, and Emmitt Smith retired in...
But Emmitt Smith is Mr. He's... I can't respect Emmitt Smith
He didn't run... I mean, he was a tough guy. He played with a separated shoulder in that championship game, I think, an NFT.
Sweet just told me to break his record. Fuck you, Emmitt Smith.
All right. So, no more Emmitt Smith. Yo, speaking of somebody who people say fuck you to a lot, Donovan McNabb, who is an analyst on the NFL Network, was talking, well, I guess he found out about the Tony Romo deal.
Yes.
6 years, $108 million he was re-upped for.
Dr. Evil numbers.
With one playoff victory.
Because he has, exactly. It's not... If he was worthy of that deal, it's a great deal, but it's...
So are you agreeing with Donovan that he's not worthy of that deal?
Yeah. Dude, okay, Romo was so unreliable. He's so...
So let me ask you, is it hating if it's the truth? Because Donovan McNabb's been getting a lot of backlash.
That's a rhetorical question.
Mostly because it's Cowboy fans who are saying it.
Yeah, Cowboy fans are like...
You can't talk about what somebody deserves. Because like Snoop said on The Wire, Zerv got nothing to do with it. Son got his money. And you know, I can understand Donovan being a little miffed.
I don't think he's miffed because he feels he needs that money.
Right. Just, like, he's amazed that he got it based on performance.
Right.
Right? It's not, you know, like he was a rookie in the league and he was all, you know.
Romo's not a top five quarterback.
Money. He got the most guaranteed money in NFL history.
And he's not a top five
Tony quarterback. Tony fucking Romo.
Yeah.
I can understand it. It's not hating. Word to Donovan McNabb. It's
Jerry Jones.
Really? And speaking of hate, and I'm this close to calling it schism. I want to. It's some schism.
This always happens, though.
Yeah, always. It only happens with one guy. Right before the draft every year, Nolan Araki, who is, you know, I guess he's a draft expert.
But this is his. We do this every year. This is his 5 minutes of fame, right?
Yeah, and he's getting fame off of it, but he only targets black quarterbacks.
Well, he stole before, on that train.
Dude, before he targeted Cam Newton, he had never met Cam. But he said he had a fake smile. He was everything about him was fake. Like, how are you going? You're supposed to make valued assessments.
Yep.
How can you make that?
He got on RG3 too.
Then he did it this year to West Virginia quarterback Geno Smith, who only completed 60 of 64 passes, you know, in his at the combine.
Right.
Said, what did he say about, even though his quarterback coach and everybody who played around Geno said, no, he was a student of film. He studied hard. He worked hard. And he's a gimmick who's not committed and cannot inspire.
Yeah.
Right? So, in fact, he's so committed to football, he took an iPad to class in order to study more film. But whatever.
Yeah. And I think the thing
Whereas, in comparison, the off-injured and totally underwhelming Matt Barkley from USC, who was supposed to be Matt Leinart great, you know how great he is, has leadership traits, strength of character, and football IQ. Despite Barkley's Trojans collapsing even more, what does he say? Disastrously than Smith's Mountaineers did.
Yeah. I think that the biggest problem out of all this stuff is, you know, he hasn't even spoke with these guys. And I'm not saying
is that the biggest problem? Or
that's not the biggest problem.
Is he flagrant in his assessments?
Well, his assessments are, like, so off base. Like, what ground?
What are they rooted in? If you can't say what they do on the football field, what are they rooted in, Dwayne? You don't want to talk about the 800-pound gorilla on your back right now. Why can't we call it what it is, though?
We can. We easily can. Because, it's, you know what? If this was, like, across-the-board assessments that are all skewed and fucked up, it's one guy, and this is the way it is every year.
Well, we don't do our thing on a yearly basis. We try to do it every 2 weeks. And it's called All Balls Don't Bounce. This one is episode 6-9.
If you flip it upside down, it still looks the same.
So that's the Rock and Malaw. And R-A stands for Ross. If it switches around, it still comes out R. So easily, when I E-M-C-E-E, our repetitions of words, they check out A-B-D-B. Can I get mine, son?
You got it.
Off the top.
You got it.
No, but you can always get us
on Twitter at ABD Media, on Facebook.com. Check for the footnotes, ABD Media. As well, email us at allballsdontbounce@gmail.com. Episode 70 coming up. iTunes Music Store, and of course,
Stitcher Radio.
I am Dwayne Watson.
What? No nicknames?
I was going to say the Cupcake Champ. The Cupcake Champ.
And I am the entrepreneur, Wall Street Will Strickland, telling you to make sure you listen to our man, the science engineer, Rich Kid, do his thing as we do our thing. Until next time, this is All Balls Don't Bounce, part of the Gone Network. Easy.
Put your game face on, get ready for the tip-off. First pitch, puck drop, first swing, kickoff. Now your regular sports show. We bring the realest in the world of sports. You gotta hear it, see it, and feel it. On field, on court, wherever you playing. Forget all the gimmicks, cause you speaking on the game. Wall Street Strickland, E-Sweets Watson. Giving y'all the latest in sports, so what's popping? It's four corners of absolute rawness. If you ever need support, knowing who's on the court, you call. From the pop fly save to the Super Bowl faves, it's from the first round seed to the top of the league, you know it's